right. So Matthew 19. When Jesus had finished these words, he departed from Galilee and came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?" And he answered and said, "Have you read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "Not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it." Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After laying his hands on them, he departed from there. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbors as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I've kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and keep to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that you or who have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man who will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers and sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last first." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just give thanks to you this morning. Just being able to be here, Lord. Just to meet with you, to learn from you, Lord. Just pray, God, that you would open up our hearts and minds just to receive your truth and your love, Lord. We just desire more of you, Lord, and that we pray that you would just draw us near to you, Lord, as well. We thank you and just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this book or chapter begins with the topic of divorce. And the Pharisees are trying to do a double trap on Jesus, catch him, and like cause him trouble, basically. And I'll just give a little context. So during this time, just as our current time, we have different denominations and different schools of thought. At that time, there were two different schools of thought regarding divorce. So there were these two rabbis. There was Rabbi Shammai as well as Rabbi Hillel. And both of these rabbis drew their, I guess, their thoughts on divorce based on what Moses talked about. So in Deuteronomy 24:1, this is what Moses said, and it's referenced later as well. So in Deuteronomy 24:1, Moses says, "When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out from his house." So the word that is in contention here is when it says, when he has found some indecency in her. So this word has become, for them, has been become very subjective. So there's two schools of thought. There's Rabbi Shammai, which is a very strict, unpopular view. So they take whatever has been commanded and they make it so hardcore and take it to the next level, right? So example, you know, Bible says don't get drunk. And we sometimes do this too. And then we take it next level. Okay, actually drinking itself is sin, right? So that's similar to what the Rabbi Shammai's do. Rabbi Shammai, the Shammai school of thought does. So regarding divorce, they say they define indecency as, because at that time women had kind of much lower standing. So at that time, if you even say, like, you know, came home late, or you're cooking, you know, your husband dinner and you burnt it, or you said something, talk back to the in-laws, that would be okay for divorce. In fact, their thinking was, if you don't have a good, like a really good wife, then you should just divorce her. It's actually better, right? So that's their school of thought, which was not popular at that time. And the second school of thought was by Rabbi Hillel, which was kind of, they're more lax, their way of thinking, and also more popular. And they defined the indecency that is described, what that Moses talked about for divorce, is if the indecent act is committing adultery, right? So how the Pharisees are trying to double trap Jesus is they're saying, okay, so what do you believe, right? Are you hardcore like us? Do you follow the Mosaic law and you're hardcore? Or are you basically this lax view? And if he says I'm hardcore, then it goes against the more popular view of it's adultery defined for indecency. And if it's the unpopular view, then he goes against the Mosaic law. So it's kind of like a no-win situation. Either way, either choice he makes, it would cause unhappiness and dissent. So that's what they're asking him. But what Jesus does is he doesn't answer them how they expect. They're asking him about divorce, and instead he answers and talks about marriage, right? So he says, basically, he quotes, he talks about Adam and Eve and what Jesus and what God intended. And what God intended is that we are to be one flesh, right? That's what God created us for. It's not just a social choice that we make, marriage, but it is a supernatural God thing. And then he later also references that why this was even mentioned in the first place, right? And we have to realize, because we've talked about oftentimes about, what is the level for when it's okay to divorce, right? And then we go, okay, if we make that level, if there's adultery involved. But notice the Bible doesn't actually say, okay, if someone commits adultery, you are commanded to make a divorce. That's actually still not really God's intention. However, it is permitted, right? So it's kind of the verse from 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. So just because you have a legit or a legal reason to, I guess, divorce, doesn't even necessarily mean we should take it, right? Because remember, we are one flesh, right? It's not, if marriage is supposed to represent Jesus in the church, wouldn't it be a ridiculous question to ask? Like, oh, at what point is it okay for Jesus and the church to separate, right? Actually, even for us to go down that road and like need to come up with a line is kind of silly, right? So the point is, we should be focusing not on like where the line is for divorce, but marriage is a God thing, and it's one flesh, right? Okay, and then we'll go to the next part, and then this is where Jesus interacts with children. And this is one of the verses we can also use where, you know, how we talk about when we pray for people, we lay hands on people as well. So in this verse, it talks about how Jesus lays hands on them to pray. Simple. And of course, Jesus loves children. We see he compares. He wants us to have, you know, childlike faith, and you know, he talks about how children, we need the humility of children to enter the kingdom of God. So you just see that Jesus loves children, and children love Jesus as well. That's it. And next we come to the rich young ruler, and he's rich. He's described as rich, young. And he says to Jesus, how can I attain eternal life? And Jesus responds, you know, follow the Ten Commandments, basically. And so some people will kind of interpret this rich young ruler as really arrogant, kind of like, oh, I already know I'm perfect, and I just want to come up, like kind of like fishing for compliments, right? Because he knows he's following the Ten Commandments. Yet he comes up and asks. But I think maybe he wasn't arrogant. Because also in Mark, when it talks about the rich young ruler, it says Jesus was really compassionate, had empathy towards him. And also, even after the rich young ruler responds to Jesus and says, oh, yeah, I follow those commandments, right? He still says to him, all these things I've kept, what am I still lacking? So he recognizes that he is lacking something, right? I think for many of us, when we come to faith, or when we first come to faith, maybe there was something lacking, right? In my case, it was, my lacking was like that, you know, where we talk about, oh, before you have this like heart-shaped void, heart-shaped hole in yourself. And the only thing that can really satisfy you is in the end God, right? And we're seeking that out. And I think with this rich young ruler, same thing, right? He's doing everything right. And many of us, even as we've tried to change our mindset from, doers, where we need to do more to seek God's approval, we realize that's not satisfying either. So in that same instance, he recognized there's a lacking. Even though he's doing everything that's correct, he's still not happy. And then Jesus says to him, sell everything. Sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. So when Jesus responds, we shouldn't necessarily take, all of us need to seek, sell everything, because we need to give everything. But he recognized, he's the rich young ruler, right? So God, Jesus knows what is on his heart, or what's holding him back. And what's holding him back is his money. Thus, he challenges him, right? And unfortunately, he is unable to, and he walks away really sad after that instruction. And I think the point is, when we accept Christ into our life, he is the Lord of our life, right? It's not just part of our life. It's not just doing obedience, but everything belongs to him, right? I imagine even, who can I use the example? I will use, I'll use my wife as example, safer. It'd be like Janie, this hypothetical, she came to say she wasn't my wife, just someone at SP, and she came to me and said, Kenny, how can I be a super duper Christian? How can I be the best Christian in the world? And then I'd be like, oh, okay. Because obviously it's not a simple answer. But I'd go, okay, I guess you could come to church every Sunday, come to EMP every morning, pray every day, read the Bible every day, and what else? And serve in Noah's Ark, serve in at least one ministry. And then she goes, okay, I'll do that. And then yet she's like, oh, but there's still something. I'm still not really satisfied. I don't know why. And then I would say, oh, okay, well, because I know Janie, she loves Korean dramas. So I'd be, okay, you got to stop watching Korean dramas forever. And she'd be like, shoot, that's really hard. But my point is, again, that Jesus is Lord of our life. It's every single area, right? And even when I was just recently, because I was in house church, I was sharing my testimony again. And, testimony of your salvation or coming to Christ is sometimes a long, it's not like, there's a big, long process, right? For me, there was a process of knowing that God was real. I had a process story for when I realized I had assurance of salvation, which is like that God was with me. And I just realized literally, I think yesterday, when my point of giving my life to Christ was, right? And I recognized it was when I finally decided not to live for myself. And I chose to obey. And it wasn't necessarily just for my satisfaction. It was, because I'm following God. It was actually, it sounds ridiculous, but my first act of like just obeying, or I guess like in this, or like kind of like the rich young ruler where he would sell everything, or if Janie were to like give up and stop watching, in like the silly example, Korean drama. For me, it was actually when I decided to stop drinking and smoking. I know, it sounds ridiculous, right? And I remember I told Pastor Sam, and I was like so excited, like, hey, Pastor Sam. Because before this, I just did what I wanted, right? And I came to church, and then, of course, on the weekends, I would still indulge and party and all that. And I remember I told Pastor Sam, Pastor Sam, guess what? And he's like, oh, what is it? I said, oh, I'm going to stop drinking and smoking forever. And then he's like, yeah, you should be doing that anyway. And I was like, oh, okay. And then someone else like, oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. But I realized it was a big deal because it was my first, you know, it was something I enjoyed. It was something before drinking and partying. It was something I enjoyed. It was something I even maybe escaped in a little, but I decided to give that up. I think that was my first act of just obedience. I know, ridiculous. So anyway, if Janelle can come up, and something to draw from as we talked about the rich young ruler, as well as the Pharisees who were, you know, so focused on divorce, is that sometimes we get so focused on what the line is, right? It's almost like, how much can we get away with? Or what do I need to do before it's good, right? Maybe if you're in a relationship, right, you know that, like, oh, no sex before marriage. Then you're like, okay, Pastor Sam, so how far can I go, right? Or like even with serving. We just become so calculated in our faith, right? Even everything is so defined. We calculate the opportunity cost of why we would do, you know, Noah's Ark versus welcoming. You know, welcoming, it's, you know, oh, it only requires one service commitment. Yeah, that's a good service. That's a good one, right? And I just want to point back to, you know, Jesus's love for children. And I think part of his love is also, he talks about childlike faith. And if you think about it, children are so simple, right? If they like something, like, for example, they like, oh, hey, why do you like math? I'm talking about little children, right? Or why do you like pizza, right? For adults, if we say, oh, why do we, oh, like, you know, over dinner, you're like, oh, why do you like this dish? We're like, oh, yeah, because the acids and the you know, salt, and they all counterbalance, and the texture, and blah, 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 blah. But if you ask a child, why do you like this dish? They say, because I like it. So simple, right? And even all their hobbies, oh, why are you this person's friend? It's like, oh, why am I friends with Genevieve? They say, oh, because I like her. They're like, but why? It's like, I don't know, because I like her. So simple, right? And same with, you know, I'm not saying we should shut off our minds and not think about, you know, opportunity costs and really go deeper and define things. But what I'm saying is when it comes to relationships and our faith, right, is a relationship with Christ. We really can't put it in a box. We can't define it and say, oh, it needs to be up to here, right? It'd be ridiculous if someone came up to me, it's like, oh, Kenny, if I want to be a good friend of yours, what do I need to do? I'm like, okay. Or in a relationship. Actually, some people probably do this. Like, oh, what do I need? This is what you need to do in order to be a good friend. You need to call me at least once a week. You need to ask me how I'm doing at least once a week. If I'm sick, you should come over. I mean, Some of those things are valid, right? But if that's all you have to do to be a good friend, to be a good daughter, father, husband, wife, then you've already missed the mark, because there's like so much you gotta do, right? You can't define it that simple. And especially in our faith, where not only should we not necessarily contain it and say, oh, I need to do up to here, but we got to remember that we gave our life to the Lord. We declared that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life, not just in one aspect, right? Not just 10%, not just the tithing amount, but it's actually 100%. But yet God still, you know, only asks of, in regards to tithing, just 10%. So as Janelle leads us, let's just take an honest look at ourselves and the way we maybe have really put walls up and contained things in our lives, whether it be our jobs, our relationships, even the way we are with Christ or with God. You know, how much can we offer to God? And just as the rich young ruler, when we put limits on what we can offer God, there's something lacking. There's a dissatisfaction. Because we know, I think in our soul, we know that there's something more. And it's not the way to live, where we have our part and we have God's part, right? And just as we all experienced that moment when we gave our life to Christ and we said, God, you know, I offer you everything. I surrender everything. The feeling we have is joy and release, right? And peace, because we don't need to control. We don't need to worry. You know, so let's just reflect and recommit, and anything that you realize that maybe you've put up and not allowed God to be Lord over, let's just once again just surrender that to Him.
Build your throne. Yes, Lord Jesus. Would you just come and just take your place as our Lord in our life, God? Just as you said to the rich young ruler that, you know, in order to attain eternal life, one must... It can be so difficult. In fact, it is impossible. Unless you do it, God. And we just recognize our weakness, the weakness of our flesh. And without you, it really is impossible, God. So we just want to surrender all areas in our life, Lord. And we want to allow you to just come and move in our lives, in our circumstances, God, and just let you be Lord. Teach us, Lord, even how to surrender, and we look forward to just experiencing you as we hand over the reins, Lord. You're in control, and you're good, Lord. Thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to our community. Let's just pray for those who are suffering from cancer, recovering with chemo and radiation therapy, and also recovering from surgery. Let's also pray for those who are friends who are sick, but also just need to come and encounter Jesus. Let's pray for opportunities as well as for wisdom for these friends and family members of how we can even speak to them. Also cover those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for those who are seeking jobs. Let's pray for favor. Let's pray for open doors. Let's pray that during this time that they would really take the opportunity to minister with God. Let's pray for also wisdom and also just confidence that God is their provider. Thank you. to our Thursday prayer focus. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia and Grace and Bloom. And let's also pray for Japan and our P. Sophia, who's there. Pray for IP Well Cascade. Let's pray for God's anointing and protection over them. Pray for Alpha, pray for unity and protection over the core team members, for timing and operations of the upcoming season. Let's lift up Education Ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, as well as SPU. Let's pray for the teachers, as well as also the students. Pray for the Thursday outreaches, SP Lights, as well as Homie Outreach. Pray for the house churches tonight, Robin Hood, Elements, Austin West, and Olympic. Let's pray for good fellowship, as well as where they can really come together to encourage and edify one another, to sharpen one another, and that they would get to encounter God during the house church sessions. Yes, God, we just want to offer you everything. We want to offer you this day. There's so much opportunity in this day, Lord, and you're doing so much in Hong Kong and in our circumstances, Lord. We want to just surrender our will, our plans, and be able to just step into whatever you have in store. Lord, help us to see and hear and sense how you're moving, Lord, and that we would be quick to obey and step forth into your plans, Lord. Pray for your blessing and favor upon everyone here today, Lord, with just the people they interact with their circumstances, Lord. pray for your love just to manifest in everyone's lives, Lord, so that other people would actually experience you as a result of them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we just want to pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please continue to spend time with God, and have a great day.